This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallam ala sayyidil awwalin wal akhirin nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barak wa sallam. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be constantly showered upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, the master of the first and the last, and upon his family, his companions, and all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, my beloved brothers and sisters and those in the IOU, I begin with the greeting words of the righteous. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah Azza wa Jal for the great blessing of fasting in the month of Ramadan. And we pray that Allah would bless this ummah at this very critical time. Muslims today are all over the planet. We're about 26% of the Earth's population. We have huge masjids. Our Jumas are crowded everywhere. We have great potential. We have some of the richest people on the face of the planet Earth. We have great material wealth. Over 50% of the mineral wealth of the world lies under our countries. Allah has blessed us with youth. In many countries, you'll find that over 60% of the population are Muslims are under 25 years old. So we are a nation of the future. And this opportunity, this major opportunity is manifesting itself in the Muslim world. And it's manifesting itself, but in strange ways. And I want to share that with you in this blessed month of Ramadan. And to try to understand what is happening and where we are going. Recently, reports came from Mecca of huge crowds. The people coming back from Umrah said it is though you are in Hajj. Like no other time, people are pouring into the sacred sites. That means they have the ability to pour into there. They have the ability to pay as well to stay in Mecca. So there are so many people who have wealth, so many people who have this ability to make this sacred journey. But at the same time, with this height that we are reaching in terms of ability to fly and to travel, there are other Muslims who are trapped in the jaws of death. The famine in East Africa is described as the worst in the history of the United Nations. Since World War II, humanity has never seen anything like this, and it seems to be getting worse. So it's a contradiction. You have this peace and security and this high lifestyle and gross national product on one hand. And on the other side, you have devastation like in Syria, like in Afghanistan, like the Rohingya Muslims, like Central African Muslims, like East Africa. So this is like a contradiction that is there. And people are crying for change to come out of this condition that we are in. There are those of us who cry for political change. Some believe that we must have a Khalifa at this point in time, or we're going nowhere. There are others who cry for economic change. They say if we have Islamic banks, that's it, because the economy is the most important thing in life. There are other people who are crying for social change. They are crying for Islamic clothing, Islamic social life, recreation centers. In some countries, they're just crying for halal food. They want to change. They just want to be able to eat what is prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with these cries going for change, Allah told us in Surah Al-Ra'd, verse 11, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusihim." Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is in themselves. And so we have to make an internal change. We have to look inside of ourselves. We have to reanalyze our actions. We have to reanalyze the fasting that we are doing, the zakat that we are paying, the prayers, the du'as. I mean, the du'as that are being made right now with millions of people saying Ameen. We shouldn't have any problems. Our nation shouldn't be humiliated. Our leaders shouldn't be disgraced. Our poor should be fed. So something is happening. And this month is the time. And we have to recognize that when we are dealing with the month of Ramadan, and we look at Surah Al-Baqarah verse 185 and those verses surrounding it, we recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first revealed the significance of the month, even before the fasting. And so Allah told us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. That this, the month of Ramadan, is the month in which Quran was revealed as a guidance to humanity and clear evidence from the guidance and from al-furqan, that which separates truth from falsehood. So this was a month of the revelation. This is a time when the spiritual air is cleared. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Sufi that the shayateen, that the evil demonic jinns are in chains. So the spiritual air is clear. And this is the time of guidance. This is the time of clear evidence. And if Muslims are fasting in a proper way, if we get over this hunger that we are involved in, and for many people, especially in the northern countries, it becomes a struggle for food. And they're literally looking at the watch. What time is iftar? What did I buy? The meat markets, the halal meat owners are joyous in this month. They are, you know, selling so much meat and food. It's like, is it Shahr al-Siyam or Shahr al-Ta'am? Is it the month of fasting or the month of food? So what is it? Why would the Prophet ﷺ even say, رُبَّ صَائِمًا لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعَ? There are many who fast and get nothing from their fast but hunger. Why would he say something like this? Why would he focus on the negative thing to bring out the positive? So in other words, it's not just hunger. There's something greater than hunger. There's a higher level. There's more benefit. And if we look at the scenario itself, and go back to the revelation, we find in the life of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Ramadan was revealed, the significance of it, through the Quran coming down and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the essence of the month. And Muslims lived like this for many years. That was the essence of Ramadan. But then later on, Allah told us, and it comes chronologically, that whoever witnesses it, فَلْيَصُمْهُ, that person should fast. So if you witnessed the month of guidance, if you witnessed the separation of truth from falsehood that has come to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then fast in that month. Hold back, do imsak in that time. This is crucial for us to understand and to recognize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us in this sacred time and in this sacred month. And so, the fasting itself, there's something more to the fast. And as we are going through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people are reading in Salatul Tarawih, in many masajid, they are reading the whole of the Quran. But the question is, are we reading it just to read? Or are we getting the benefit out of it? This is the crucial question we need to ask. Because again, this is this large body of Muslims. There's ideal conditions. On the other side, devastation. Dua is being made. We need an answer. Striving is happening. But is it being done properly? Are we getting the full benefit out of the striving? And so, as we were reading through the Quran itself in Surah Al-Baqarah, and we came to verse 208, we recognize that Allah Azza wa Jalla, very important point, it's like it stopped in my mind, and it was shocking to many people when Allah said, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dkhulu fis-silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwatish shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin." O you who believe, enter into Islam completely and do not follow the footsteps of the evil one, for he is to you an open enemy. So enter completely into Islam. And when the word kaffa is being used, and this is important for us to reflect on, Allah could have said jami'an, amatan. But no, kaffa, which means, as the scholars have shown us, every aspect of your Islam. Submit completely. So in other words, you don't just submit in the daylight hours of Ramadan and do wrong in the evening. Or you don't just submit in Ramadan and then go back to what you're doing in Shawwal. It's complete submission. It's not just submission spiritually, but it's submission in everything that we do. That means our economic life, our political life, our social life, every aspect of human life. This is what Allah is commanding us to do. But what happens after it, then Allah shows, do not follow the footsteps of the evil one. So he shows us there's something on the other side. There's something wrong, there's something evil, and that is piecemeal Islam. That is only following part of it and not following the essence of this deen and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. And this is important for us to understand, especially at this time when we are in this month. And when we look at this set of verses, we also recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you know, again, the month is revealed and then the fasting is revealed. Why is the fasting revealed? And then Allah told us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you as it has been prescribed on those who came before you in order that you would have taqwa, the consciousness of Allah, to fear Allah, to guard against what is wrong. Right? It's that consciousness. That's the essence of the fast. It's not a hunger strike. It's not starvation. And I feel sorry many times, you know, for those Muslims who are like dying in the month. Yes, we're hungry, especially in the northern countries. We're going through a major test because we have, you know, the longest possible fasts in the northern countries. We're going through it. But at the same time, there's something greater than the fast. And we have to come out of that carnal state, that animal-like state, and raise up. And we should recognize that when we raise up to a higher level, we are, in a sense, in an angelic state, because the angels do not have desires like human beings. يَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do what they are commanded. And so, in a sense, when we are living in the world, we are working, studying, walking down the street, functioning. Some people are even playing sports, and we're fasting. And so by doing all of this, and controlling for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are like the angels, right, who have defeated, who are above their desires, are not worried about this. They are in submission. So we are now in an angelic state. That's the eye opened up now. That's what we're looking for. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. There's something else other than hunger. And that's what we're looking for. The higher stage, the true full benefit of this. When we go back to that verse, Allah tells us that the reason why we are fasting is taqwa. It's the consciousness of Allah. And it's very important to focus on this taqwa and what is the opposite. Maybe this will open up a door for us. One of the great scholars of Islam, Muwafiq al-Din, Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Ahmed ibn Ahmed ibn Qudama al-Maqdasi al-Dimashqi, rahimahullah. He died 620 years after the Hijrah. He's known as Sheikh ibn Qudama. And he was a great scholar in the sense that not only did he look at the external affairs, but he tried to in the most authentic way, look in the internal affairs of Muslims as well. And this is crucial now because we're looking not just externally, not just to do the salat, not just to do the fasting, not just to wear the clothes, but to gain full benefits in order to get us out of this bala, this punishment, this calamity that we find ourselves and the Muslim world in at this very critical time. And so Ibn Qudama rahimahullah in his Minhaj al-Qasidin, he looked at this concept of taqwa. Very interesting analysis that taqwa is made up of al-khawf wa raja, fear and hope. You fear Allah and you hope in the mercy of Allah. And these are stimulants. And anything other than that, which is not stimulating you, it's stagnating you, it is ghurur, it is deception. Now this is a very interesting concept, because fear and hope, these are things which should call you to action. When you fear something, you jump back. When you hope for something, you move towards it. So you're involved in an action. It's not as the Marxist-Leninists would say that religion is the opium of the people. No, this should stimulate. Our fasting is supposed to wake us up. It's supposed to stimulate us. Our prayer is supposed to wake us up. Right? Our halal food, our Islamic lifestyle is not supposed to put us to sleep. And so it's crucial for us to look at this stimulation and what's the opposite. So the opposite now, ghurur, and interesting definitions for ghurur, not only is it a deception, but it is a delusion. So somebody is deluded. It's like they think that they are right. They think that their way is the way. They think that they are doing righteousness, but they're really doing evil. They're deluded about themselves. Another definition is illusion. Like the life of this world is an illusion. And Allah said, وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعِ الْغُرُوَ. The life of this world is nothing but a material deception or illusion. It can also mean stagnation. And this is an important concept, that this ghurur could put us in a state of stagnation, where we are Muslims, we have this large mass of people, and you have pictures coming in the last year or so of the Kaaba, and you'll see it periodically where it gets so many people in it. It's like it stops, the tawaf stops. It's like a huge colony of ants. And there's so many ants that they can't move anymore. So many people, the stagnation is in there. And so this is the ghurur. And it's very important for us to try to reflect on this concept, as our scholars have reflected. Ghurur can hit people sometimes because of their families, their very lineage, the very roots that they come from. There is cases of people who, because they feel they come from a special family or a special part of the world, they feel they are saved. And this is really a deception. Some might say, I don't have to give sadaqah. My mother used to give charity all the time. You're being deceived. Others say, no, why should I study? I'm from a family of ulama. You're being deceived. Study is on everybody. The action of giving charity, of doing what is right, it's on everybody. Just because your family used to fast doesn't mean that you're okay as long as you got that name, that Allah is going to accept you. This is this concept of the chosen people. This is not our way. And so the person could be deceived. And if the family was enough, then what about Abu Lahab? He is the father of the flames. He is Hashimi, the uncle of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A noble lineage, but burning in hell. And so let us not be fooled by our families, or by the fact that we've been practicing Islam for a while, or the people in our family, our country practice Islam. We need to do it ourselves. We need to get the full benefit out of it. There are others who are deceived by their deeds. One person may wake up in the morning and do 100 istighfar, ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive him. Maybe he does it in the masjid, 27. Maybe he does it in the Masjid al-Haram times 100,000. Do the math. When you see what an amazing amount of numbers. He's got a lot of hasanat. So he feels because he has the hasanat, the rest of the day he can backbite, talk against the imam, scandalize women, lie, insult people with his tongue. He's being deceived. He thinks that these hasanat is going to help him. He's being deceived. And this is the ghurur that we're talking about. We have to get deeper. We have to recognize that the Prophet Muhammad very clearly showed us that in his final sermon, he very clearly showed that the evil one has despaired in being followed in the Arabian Peninsula in big things, but he will be followed in small things. So beware of him. Beware of him in small matters. You see how important this concept is. This ghurur can hit many different people. There are some who they have ghurur with their material things. I even had a case of a person who won the lottery. He gambled and won the lottery and came and said, "Brother Abdullah, can I pay zakat? I'll pay 2.5%. Will it make it halal?" You can't make it halal. You can't take a pig, a khinzir, and say Bismillah Allahu Akbar and slaughter it and make it halal. It's the pig. And it's the same way the gambling. But this is a deception that one wants to try to get around things. This is what we have to watch out. This is what we need to change in this very crucial time in the history of Islam and Muslims on the face of this planet. This ghurur can also touch students of knowledge. And this is an important point because many times students of knowledge or people who so-called religious people feel that they're above all these statements and all these things. And Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he looked at al-mutasawwafa. He looked at people of Sufism, tasawwuf. And he said that there are those people who claim to have zuhud. They claim to have abstinence, but yet they are highly materialistic. But yet they have pride, envy. They have all these negative qualities, the opposite of abstinence and zuhud. But because they have certain names and titles, they feel they're above it. They're being deceived. This also could apply to students of knowledge, those who might say we're of the Salaf. We are studying Aqidah. But they're studying Aqidah. They know the letter of the word, but they're not implementing it. See, there's a difference in knowing the letter, knowing what it is, and doing it. And this is where the ghurur is coming in. So even a person who is studying, who claims that they know what is right, they have the ayat, they have the ahadith, but they don't apply it to themselves, they can be fooled as well. And so ghurur is a dangerous thing. Even to the point where the person studies makharij al-huruf, they study the ability to pronounce the words of the Quran. They know how exactly. And it comes melodious. And the people say, Allah, Allah. But they're not practicing it. And the Prophet ﷺ said the time would come when people would read this Quran in melodious tones and tongues, but it would not pass their heart or would not pass their throat. So they read it in a beautiful way. It doesn't get by their throat. In other words, it doesn't go to their heart. And Sadaqa Rasulullah ﷺ, it has come to pass. It's a form of deception that people find themselves in. And so this deception can hit people in many different ways. We need to be aware of it. And Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, in his final wasiyah, and he wrote a type of final advice. And I want to read to you a very important statement that he made, a translation of the statement. And in this he said, "Be on guard against that which will invalidate your good deeds." lest your deeds become corrupted and your efforts disappointed, and you fail to acquire the wage of those who act. And be on guard against the sluggishness of idle people, in case you lose in this world and in the hereafter. So this is a very important statement that he's saying. He's saying, be on guard for certain actions. It could invalidate your deeds. So in other words, the person is fasting in the month of Ramadan, and they're doing certain things. It burns up the fast. They go to Umrah. They make Hajj. They do certain things. It burns it up. So this is a very important point. This could be the key to what is happening today to the Muslims who are in such large crowds, who have such great wealth, but still feeling humiliation on the ground. And Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah said some interesting points. Number one, of those deeds, and there are many that could invalidate, arriya, doing religious deeds to be seen by others, showing off with your deen. So arriya, you do good deeds, you make the salat, you do the fast, you give the sadaqah, but you want your name. You're doing it for a name, for a reputation. That could invalidate the very action or deed that has just been done. This is a crucial concept that we have to understand. After you have to recognize, it could invalidate all of the good deeds which we are doing as people or as Muslims in this month. Number two, ujub or conceit. Doing things or feeling that what I say and what I do, it is the right way. In other words, some will say it's either my way or the highway. Some will say you either follow my sheikh or your sheikh is shaitan. Only my way. And so the ujub. And ujub, conceit, is a very dangerous concept. Because when you get conceited in yourself and you start thinking, well, we are the best people, we are the chosen people, we are the right tariqah, we are the right madhab, school of thought, we are the right Islamic movement, we come from the right country, we speak the right language, I speak Arabic or Turkish or Urdu or Swahili or English or whatever it is. Conceit. You start attributing to yourself that which you don't really deserve. That can lead to pride. And pride, as we know, is one of the most dangerous qualities in existence. It is the pride that caused the shaitan to fall, wa'iyadhu billah. As he told Allah, you created me from fire and you created Adam from clay. So he was a racist. He was arrogant and proud. And he fell down. So this pride is a dangerous thing. So this ujub, as Ibn Qudamah has shown, it can lead to the pride. Watch out for that pride. Especially when it reaches that level where you start thinking that you're better than everybody else. Another interesting point that he made, and as though he's talking to us directly today, contempt for other Muslims. Hatred for other Muslims. You feel negative about other Muslims. Yes, there may be things they're doing wrong, and you give nasiha and you want it to change, but it's that corrosive rust, that evil acid of the heart, hatred for another Muslim. And especially a person who is claiming to be Muslim. They have the shahada, they're doing their prayers, they're fasting, they may have something wrong with their way that they practice Islam, and we want to help them as well as they should help us. But it's the hatred, it's the negative ill feeling in the heart. This is what we don't want. It could invalidate our deeds. And that is what we're looking for today. Another important point that is made is opposition to the sunnah. And this is crucial because the Prophet ﷺ is our guide. He is the one who is showing us. And if you really want to know all of our actions and the things that we are doing, there's one tradition where the Prophet ﷺ, and it's saying, Su'ila Rasulullah ﷺ an akthari ma yudkhila nas al-jannah faqala taqwa Allah wa husnul khuluq. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, what is the main reason why people will enter paradise? And he said, the consciousness of Allah and good character. Wa su'ila an akthari ma yudkhila nas al-na faqala al-fam wal-faraj. And then he was asked, what is the main reason why people will enter the fire? And he said, the mouth and the private parts. Look at this. So entering paradise, is it a big cap? Is it a long beard? Right? Is it a heavy, heavy niqab? Right? Is it having a certain group that we're in? No, it's taqwa Allah. It's the consciousness of Allah. It's that relationship and good character. It was the character. It's what came out of us, not what we said. It's what came out of us, what we actually did. These are the main reasons why people will enter paradise. And what is the main reason why people will enter hellfire? The mouth and the private parts. This is really serious when we look at ourselves. Because the fasting could only be just this physical struggle against the hunger, against the thirst. The physical struggle in this life, but it doesn't reach the mouth. The fasting needs to be the fast of the tongue as well. So we fast against telling lies. Of course, the worst lie is on the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on Allah and His Prophet. You shouldn't be lying. You shouldn't be distorting things. Right? That's the real fast. And then also backbiting, talking about people negative behind their backs, scandalizing people, false witness, insulting people with our tongue. Any of these negative qualities, the mouth needs to be fasting as well. And that's not just putting food and drink inside of our mouth. The eyes need to be fasting. So we need to fast from watching negative things. Even sometimes people use their eyes in a negative way to hurt other people, especially other Muslims. So the eyes need to be fasting as well. The ears, don't listen to negative things. Right? See, these are the actions. So what is the main reason why people are in hell? Mouth. Mouth. Private parts. Right? You see, these two things, control them. Control them in this life to gain the benefit of the next life and the protection from the fire. And so, this advice is a crucial advice. And our great scholar, Rahimahullah, did not leave us alone. He gave us some points of advice. And that is, number one, taqwa with vigilance. So in other words, we're not just having the consciousness of Allah in Ramadan and show why we act different. We're not just having the consciousness of Allah on Jum'ah and then outside the mosque we're different. We need to have it consciously, continuously, consistently, vigilant. Number two, take responsibility for your actions and recognize that our actions have consequences. And this is important for leadership, whether it's the leadership of our families, the leadership of our communities, the leadership of our nations. Those who are giving that responsibility of leadership recognize there's consequences for what we're saying and what we're doing. It's not going to be forgotten. And it could actually invalidate our good deeds. We could actually do good in one point and then destroy it. Number three, excellent actions. Surround ourselves with excellent actions. Giving sadaqah, saying nice things, calling to the good, forbidding evil, feed the poor, use the fast. In other words, don't just sit there and count down and roll around and, you know, be in this physical thing. Okay, yes, we feel tired, but use the fast. Use the consciousness. Help somebody out. Volunteer. This will change the negative, evil narrative being put out in the world because of the actions of a distorted few people. Start doing the righteous deeds. The Muslim world is doing righteous deeds all over the world. If our rich people are giving to the poor, really paying zakat, really giving sadaqah, the poor of the world would look to the Muslims and say, these are our saviors. It can happen if we have that consciousness and if we surround ourselves with these righteous actions. also humble supplication, that when we turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, we need to do it in the sense that we are nothing. And look at this body. Look at what this fast is doing to us. If you miss your fast here in the northern countries, and the time for between making Taraweeh and Suhoor is so short up here, you can miss it very easily. If a person just closes their eyes, they can wake up and there's no Suhoor. And it's happened to a number of people. That means you're going to be fasting 21, 22 hours. That's a serious fast, especially when the weather gets warm. What happens to your body? It starts breaking down. You feel really weak. One day. So how strong really are we? So when we're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not like you make a certain dua, you demand of Allah certain things. That when you make this dua, you must get an answer. That's not the way that we're supposed to be making dua. We're supposed to be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humble supplication. Really asking Allah, have mercy on us, forgive us. Lift the bala off the Muslim world. Lift this calamity. We have to recognize how poor we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to fill our lives with this intimate conversation. That make this dua an intimate conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be sincere in the dua. It's not the amount of duas. You can read 50 duas from a dua book. But one sincere dua would be more than all of those things you read like a parrot. So sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need it right now. So our deeds would not be invalidated. That Allah would forgive us for the wrong that we have done. And also, istikhara. That we should ask Allah to help us to make the right choice. As surround yourself with istikhara. Constantly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, am I doing the right thing in my actions? This is a very crucial time for Muslims. We need to get full benefit out of our deeds. We have to recognize the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not speak from himself. He was very clear. And one tradition, he said, "Man lam yada qawla zor wal amal bihi, fa laysa lillahi haja an yada ta'amahu wa sharaba." Whoever does not give up false witness and acting upon it, then Allah has no need for him to give up his food or his drink. So what does that mean? It means that it's not just the physical fast. It's something higher. We want full benefit out of our deeds. We want full benefit out of our salat. That there is khushur in the salat. That we are really turning to Allah, submitting to Allah, bowing down to the creator of the heavens and the earth and recognizing this bow and this supplication that we are doing. This is crucial for us at this dangerous point in time in our history. That our fasts need to be a meaningful fast. That this month of Ramadan, that when we're reading the Quran, read it to get meaning. Read it to get guidance. We read it with tajweed. We reflect on the meaning and then implement. So it's recitation, reflection, implementation. So practice. Go all the way with the actions in this blessed month of Ramadan. It's crucial for us. And we need to understand how important this is at this very vital time in our lives and this crucial time in the life of the Ummah, when we are surrounded by our enemies, when famine is striking us, we are suffering loss. But at the same time, there are those who have security and peace. There are those who have wealth. It's a test on both sides. It's a test with good, it's a test with evil. But we're definitely under a test. And we need that full benefit from our fasting, from our actions, from all the things that we are doing. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept us in this month of Ramadan, that Allah would accept our actions and our deeds and would help it to be a real source of benefit in this life and in the hereafter. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mercy upon the children of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protect them and have mercy upon our younger generation so they can be strong enough to take this message. We pray that Allah would protect the dignity and the honor of the women of the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah guide the men, strengthen the men, strengthen this Ummah at this time. Give us unity. Clear our hearts of any contempt and evil and bad thoughts. Accept our prayers and really help our deeds to be meaningful deeds. I leave you with these thoughts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on me and you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.